Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. And we're about to do a quick review of Monday and Tuesday night's events, along with the big news of the week, which is NXT going to the USA Network on Wednesday nights opposite AEW. It was announced earlier today. But first off, Ray, what did we just see with Daniel Bryan and his cohort?
I have absolutely no idea.
The whodunit continues.
What did you think you saw?
I think I saw Rowan's dad, I think. Maybe his uncle or
Rowan
something?
Has cloned himself. We're about to enter the clone saga of wrestling.
But he cloned himself a little older.
Yes, he did. Maybe that's the original Rowan. Maybe we've all been dealing with like the clone of Rowan. And like it's like a Ben O'Reilly situation where it's like, I was the original. Like, no, you weren't. We won't know. It's going to be very confusing. We're going to introduce the Jackal. Maybe the Jackal. I'm going into a very in-depth like Spider-Man joke right now. We're just going to drop it.
What I'm thinking about...
Well, you might as well finish it.
You're yeah, listen, there. I'm just saying, like, if we're going to say, like, this is the clone saga in this whole joke, I'm just saying that makes Daniel Bryan the Jackal. And he matches the beard look. Then he's just going to transform himself into, like, a green beast, which is, you know, that's ironic because the eco-friendly thing. And then we're just going to see for the first time, like, a physical monster enter the ring, and I can't wait to see that on screen for my
not
sports.
A fiend.
One thing I just imagine.
Monster. Yeah, not the monster among men, but like an actual monster among these men.
Now, we did get a great episode of wrestling, right?
Two nights in a row.
Let's go through SmackDown since it's fresh in our minds, and then we'll talk a little bit about Raw, and then we'll go into the other thing. And the other thing would be NXT.
Ah.
So, the show starts out with Randy Orton preaching about how stupid Kofi is. Kofi attacks him from behind, gets the upper hand. It looks like he's going to break his ankle. And what happens?
Say, yeah.
Kofi Kingston comes out with a not very surprising surprise attack.
Well, I mean, we just described that.
Okay, what happens is the Revival comes in and saves him.
So I'm guessing it was just an attack. But the Revival comes in and saves Randy Orton from getting his ankle broken.
Which is actually another angle from what happened the night before on Raw, which I guess we're going to have to cover because the two episodes play together. Correct.
Yes.
So, Randy, there's a tag team match last night.
The New Day versus the Revival. And then Randy Orton comes in around the end of the match. RKO is once a Big E. And then him and the Revival start like beating up on Xavier Woods, Mr. Big E. Then Kofi comes out, tries to take him out.
Gets RKO'd.
Everyone gets an RKO for their troubles. And poor Xavier gets
what's the move they put on him to hurt his knee, Ray? Did you see that?
It's like an inverted figure four leg lock. And they step on his ankle while he does the... They go to the second rope while...
During the inversion.
Yeah, well...
I don't know if that's a word, but yeah.
Inversion, I believe, is a word. Right.
Well, so. I think it's Dash Wilder. No, I think it's Scott Dawson that locks in the inverted figure four.
Isn't this a bald one or the one with hair?
The bald one.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
And...
go ahead.
He locks in the inverted figure four, and then Scott Dawson goes to the second rope and stomps on their ankle leg area.
And I was informed today that this is now the creation of a faction. What is the faction called?
It's the FTRKO. Because FTR, Forever the Revival, then RKO, obviously, Randy.
Forever the RKO.
Forever the RKO.
If this were to really be a faction for a month or two, what do we think?
It's pretty cool.
It's fun.
Yes, please.
It's fun.
Yes, please. I would love it. You have two guys that are kind of bruisers. You got, you know, Randy's old school anyway. I think it's fantastic if those guys get together and try to do business together for the rest of the foreseeable future.
Excellent.
Now, then we had Andrade wrestle
versus Señor Apollo Crews.
And it was a good match.
It was a great match. It's a fun little match we had there.
Yes, and then Andrade pulls it out.
Yeah, and there's a nice little like back and forth between the two for a little bit. And Apollo, like for a little bit, I almost thought like, are we going to see Apollo go over finally? Is it happening? But then Zelina kind of got involved, and then we got a little bit of we got the hammerlock DDT at the end, and bang.
Right. the typical Andrade match. Very vintage. Good. Very good. And then she helps him pull it out in the hammerlock to finish it.
I'm sorry. Who won? Who won?
Visual comedy in a podcast is great. I want you to know that.
Ray has his new Andrade t-shirt on.
Yeah, it's
right
Andrade
now.
Cien Almas, who you don't know who he actually is.
I don't know Andrade. I don't know the Cien Almas person you're talking about. They sound fun. Anyway.
Then we move on to the moment of bliss. Dunna, which is Charlotte talking about how great she is for a while, justifiably so. Bayley comes out, says, "You're not as great as you think. You're obnoxious," pushes her. Want to move past that?
But yeah, basically, like, that's just basically class of champions, Bayley versus Charlotte. There you go.
We've seen it before, but I love it. It's a great matchup. It's going to be a great match. Then we get Daniel Bryan, Buddy Murphy, and I think we should take some time to talk about Buddy Murphy and what he's put on the last couple of weeks.
Oh, man.
When he's not getting beat up backstage, he's killing it in the ring. Am I right?
He's still killing it when he's getting beat up backstage. He's just getting killed.
He throws himself across like the room, and you're like, dude, it ain't that serious.
Listen, the past few weeks, he's had a lot of TV time, but before that, he hasn't had any TV time.
So it's really a stroke of luck that he was even like in the backstage at that moment.
For whatever reason, somebody noticed he was backstage, whether it was written to be that way or not, and they said, hey, well, we'll put Buddy into the storyline. Roman jumps Buddy backstage last week.
A couple weeks ago, actually.
3 weeks ago. Then Roman and Buddy have a banger of a match last week. Everybody online is blowing up about what a great match they had. And then, boom, we get another one that's just as good tonight with Daniel Bryan, and he's scheduled to have one with Ali, which will probably be a banger the next week.
Yeah.
Just as that, I'm sorry, but that Buddy and Daniel match is the best main roster match I have seen in definitely like 2 months or so.
It's one of the best like TV matches I've seen, other than like if we exclude pay-per-view matches and stuff. I would argue since was Rey and Andrade when they had their little tussle back and forth.
Okay.
But it's like the best like just actual match. That wasn't on a pay-per-view.
Right, and Daniel Bryan reminds you of who he is, and Buddy reminds you of who he was on 205 Live.
The stiffness was on New Japan level, or maybe not, but it was still closer to New Japan than it usually is.
I should also specify that when I say that match, I mean both Roman's match with Buddy and Daniel Bryan's match with Buddy. Both of them, it's really hard to compare the two.
Because they're two totally different matches.
Two different styles,
which is wonderful too, because you had the Slugger, the standard Roman, you know, and then you have the smaller Daniel Bryan who wrestles from the heel way anyway, while being smaller, and it showed Buddy just being able to do everything with everybody, and it was wonderful.
They put him so over, so that way
he goes clean over an ex-world champion.
Yeah, and like
that's
now,
amazing.
Now he's like going to go to King of the Ring, and people were chanting Buddy in the background, even though he's technically a heel.
And it'll be interesting too. They've been trying to give us Ali. Ali's been allowed to shoot his own promos. He's talked about online how he's thankful that they're letting him do his own thing. And here we go. He's supposed to be a babyface, and yet Buddy's been killing it in the ring. What's going to happen when they walk out there? It's going to be 50-50.
I'm thinking that it's going to be 50-50 or it's just going to be all Buddy.
It will be. But once Ali starts flipping around, they'll swing back around and it'll...
Yeah.
The thing is, Ali has been cutting the greatest babyface promos out of everybody on the roster.
Off his iPhone.
Do you think so?
Right off his iPhone.
Yes. Completely. Okay. Dude, that promo where he said something like...
He cured alcoholism, man. You can't beat that. It was a look. Steely-eyed look.
That was the only one.
In which alcoholism was no more.
He defeated, like, he stopped people from beating up a woman and mugging her.
That's true. You know, you don't see that a lot. But you did like you liked him.
Oh, yeah, dude. Okay. He is incredible at doing babyface promos. He's got the look. He's got...
He's the heart of 205 Live. Or SmackDown Live.
Okay, now we went on to a tag match, which was another good match between Heavy Machinery and The Revival. What do we think about it?
Can I be honest with you?
Go ahead.
Be honest.
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it? Okay, let's move on. Yeah. What did you think about it?
Because I watched it, because I enjoy watching the wrestling product. I thought it was pretty good. You know, the Revival kind of shows, even though they're injured, like, or like they can do the storyline of being injured, quote-unquote, and still, like, pull off a good match and...
When he Oof. Walks out to the ring, Ray, I believe you said, how is he going to do his finisher, or was it you?
Ray,
I said, how is he going to do his finisher? Like,
because those guys are big, and you're supposed to be injured.
Listen, Otis has a lot of beef on him.
Right, he's round.
It's
hard to grab hold of.
Technically, you can't pin him because his shoulders are never on the ground.
That's why you get Tucker.
Yes, but to your point, Ray, they were able to figure it out because they didn't use their finisher in order to win the match. Now you were saying, how did they pull it off, Nick?
Let's see. They're about to do the compactor, and then the other one, I'm bad with their names. Like, I believe it was the one with hair.
Dash Wilder.
That's Dash Wilder. Dashed in, as he often does. And then he basically drop kicked, I believe, Otis. Then Tucker tried to get in there, but that's when, I want to say, Dash was able to roll him up, get him done.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But what they were able to do is show, when we can't do our finisher, they didn't cheat.
Not technically, not.
Maybe he grabbed the pants or whatever, but that's whatever. That's everybody in a roll-up. And, mm-hmm. and then he gets the move done. So that was well done. Well done. Now we're going to go on to a segment that I loved, which is Miz TV. I generally love Miz TV anyway. I think he's fascinating. I think he's funny. But he brings Sammy out, and Sammy told the world today he was tired of losing and something needed to change. I didn't know what it was going to be. I don't think anybody knew what it was going to be. I assumed he was going to turn further heel. But what does he do? He quits wrestling, and he becomes Shinsuke's manager. We don't know if he's going to really quit wrestling, but
he's basically saying, I'm going to be a voice for the voiceless, essentially. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking that Sammy, as a manager of Shinsuke, is gold. I cannot wait to see where it goes. What do you think, Ray?
Now, I'm probably the most qualified person to do this, since I am probably the biggest fan of this room, of both of them.
Okay, good.
I have his shirt. All right. Oh, dang.
I wore his regular hoodie, not sleeveless.
He wore Sammy's hoodie for 5 years.
Oh. Literally. Every day to school. But anyways. Oh, God.
Keep going.
Talk. Anyway, what you think, though?
I feel like it has a lot, and I mean a lot of potential, because it is a very easy way to have people that can't speak the English language. It's a loophole around the fact that us feeble-minded wrestling fans can't read subtitles because they go too fast.
Well, it's more like sometimes like people need to hear what you're saying, trying to hear what you're trying to say, and Zelina is a really good mouthpiece for Andrade, though Andrade is currently learning English. Now we have a mouthpiece for Shinsuke, because apparently, if we are to believe the behind-the-scenes stuff, Vince never really wanted to push Shinsuke that far because he didn't really speak that well, you know, English good. I know I'm making my mom
Although
proud.
Although, I will say that Shinsuke has been able to do fine in promos. I've never been at a point where I thought, you know,
one of his best, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm very sorry.
Go ahead.
But one of his best promos was when he was in the AJ Styles Shinsuke thing, and the AJ Styles Shinsuke WWE thing was kind of
lackluster.
But one of my favorite parts is he when Renee Young would interview him, he'd say, sorry, no speak English.
Which was his way out. But now he's got Sammy, and Sammy can talk. And if they get into something with somebody, Sammy can work. We can have random tag matches here and there. I can't. The future's bright if they do this right.
Yeah, El Generico is dead.
Then we go into Kevin Owens versus Elias versus Shane. Do we have any thoughts?
Elias.
Shenanigans here, shenanigans there, shenanigans everywhere.
Shane was not officially in the match. He just kind of shaned his way in.
Mm-hmm. That's a technical term.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens is they have a good little match. I've always been impressed with the way Elias works, considering he never gets to wrestle in matches where it's a wrestling match. He's always in a match where there's some kind of shenanigans going on, or he's going to use his guitar later on, or somebody's going to use a guitar on him, or there's three people in the match, or there's a guest referee. So, but when he does get in the ring and work, he can work. And Kevin Owens is a fantastic wrestler as well, so it was pretty good. And then, Ray?
Shane McMahon shenaniganed his way in, because we all know what WWE stands for. Not walk with Elias, not sports entertainment, but World Wrestling Shenanigans.
Ah, I should have known shenanigans started with the letter E.
It's timeless.
It's time.
The E World is Wrestling silent. Shenanigans.
But anyway, so Shane comes in. He has a referee jacket on under. He fined Kevin Owens from the week before for messing with the referee. And so then they cost Kevin the match, which means Kevin can't move on in the King of the Ring tournament, which actually makes the King of the Ring tournament very interesting because the favorite on that side of the bracket has now lost.
Yeah. Also, we did predict that this was going to happen, I believe.
One of us did.
I think it was Justin who said that. Oh. He said, like, if
he's going to lose, he needs to lose early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to lose it now. And he did say one of Shane's lackeys to have Shane come out here do some shenanigans. And here we are.
And actually, it is great because Kevin's already in a storyline.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the King of the Ring to further his character. He's one of the top three or four guys on the show. The other guys can take advantage of this opportunity of working week in and week out.
We did forget one part of SmackDown, because that's basically rolling it all up except for the very end.
We'll hit it and then we'll go.
We forgot about the really strange Gable promo that happened in the middle there, where Chad Gable's out there talking with Miss Caruso. And then Shelton Benjamin just was in the background.
Who he's facing next week.
Yes, he is facing next week in King of the Ring. And just gave the whole, like, thinking look. Shut the door, came out, you have to be this tall to do the King of the Ring, and walked away.
Like you would see it at any ride at the fair. Have to be this tall in order to enter.
And yet it was oddly, because of how surreal it was, the funniest promo I think I've seen in a hot minute.
Well, it was nice. It was not nice. It was mean, but it was simple, and it made sense, and it didn't involve anybody really going too far. It wasn't...
It was just like,
it was well done. It was cute. It was fine. Right. It was fine. So we're going to move on from SmackDown, and we're going to go on to... And on it, the King of the Ring... Joe versus Cesaro. It was a heavy-hitting affair. What did we think about it, guys?
It was pretty good.
Pretty good.
It was very good.
Fairly solid.
Very solid. Like, I'm pretty sure they almost broke each other's arms. Like, good point in there. Like, Cesaro, like, kicked the soul out of Joe.
Yeah, and Cesaro puts on these really good matches, and we get frustrated because he never gets to get further than where he is on the card. And it was good to see him in a tag team with Sheamus. Because they got to be champs and we got to see Cesaro succeed, and I would like to see him get to do that as a solo guy, because I know what he can do as a wrestler. And yet, when he's in there with Joe, you don't want him to beat Joe, because we want Joe to be in his tournament, right? Okay. So the right guy won. Joe choked him out. And go ahead.
I love Cesaro, man. I just think he needs a better gimmick, because his theme song right now is fairly generic.
I love his theme song. Am I just like the one person who likes his theme song and I think that the lighting is super cool?
He's not a member.
I don't have a problem with
it. He's like, his whole shtick is like, I'm the Swiss Superman or Swiss Cyborg. And that sounds like a Superman theme. I hear that, I think, oh, here comes Clark Kent just taking off the tie. Like, gives me hype.
It looks like he's a member of D-Generation X.
I'm talking about the music here. We're talking
okay.
About the theme.
I'm talking about the lighting.
Now, other matchup we had on the show, and we're going to go through Raw quickly, guys. Yeah. The other matchup that we had on the show was Cedric having almost a squash match with Sammy. Sammy got a little bit of offense in, and then Cedric did what Cedric does well. And
just took him out.
Him right out. And then it kind of forced Sammy into Shinsuke's arms.
Yep.
Ran straight to Shinsuke's arms and... Away they go. Hopefully, away they go. Now, the other thing, let's see. We had two very solid promos. I would like some commentary on those if anybody would like this.
Becky Lynch's zinger was... I got really close to the mic there.
Go ahead.
Becky Lynch's zinger was incredible. You're the greatest wrestler to never be great. That is, in fact, wrong, because Lance Storm exists, and you cannot forget him.
I would argue that Lance Storm had his great moments, but also...
There's also, like, the phrase, he said, greatness doesn't need to be goaded into being great. Like, they just step up, and it's like, ooh.
It's shooting season, boys!
Get it.
That's so good. It's so good, and although we've all seen greatness out of Sasha in her moments, it still has that little bit of echo of truth to it. And it's what's good when you cut a good promo. And you want to talk about Sasha's by any chance?
Sasha basically said, oh, yes, I did. Like, people have been asking, and yes, I did dye my hair.
And the most important part is later in the night with Natalya, Sasha attacked her arm, and she got the dresser thing, she stuck her arm in it, and then closed the door, because apparently she was having, like, some sort of rehab or injury on the arm.
She was,
gotta sell that kayfabe. Right. And he said...
And Sasha said,
Go to H.
Go to Hunter and tell your daddy I said hi.
Wow.
He also had Bray attacking Jerry the King Lawler. He was supposed to be the one to interview Sasha, but that didn't happen.
I love the way Jerry
reacted. Do we like the Fiend attacking legends?
Haley, our producer, does not like it, but I find it fairly good because it doesn't have to go into a storyline. It can just remind you, hey, he's here.
Well, the thing is, like, also, these people he's taken out in the past have kind of done something against him before, made fun of him, squashed him, all this other stuff, embarrassed him, and now this could be construed as his revenge, one could argue.
I do like the fact that they're doing this. I like the fact that, like you said, he doesn't make any of the current roster look weak. It's obviously a heel move to take out guys that are older and that are fairly beloved by the crowds. But also, it allows us to go any direction Bray wants to go, because there's a question mark as to why. And he can go any direction he wants, whether he wants to go grab Randy Orton and become the Legend Killer's Legend Killer, or, which I don't think he will, I'm just saying, he can go any route he wants. Or if he wants to try to tie in what used to be great to what should be great now. There's so many directions he can go, and I want that to happen.
Okay, one thing that's also incredible with the Fiend is his mandible claw is absolute. It just looks like it hurts a lot because Mick, he used to lay them down kind of kindly, you know, but he just jams them down.
It does look forceful. Now, let's move on to the main event. Ray had a problem with the main event of the evening. You had a fight early in the night
with the OC, and
Braun got into it with the OC, and Seth came down and helped out, and then they challenged for the title, and everybody thought for sure there'd be a run-in. There would not be a title exchange at 10 o'clock at night on a Monday, and lo and behold, we were wrong. And my man got mad. What you think, Ray?
The physical trembling joke is not going to work in an audio format. I will say that.
Say something, buddy.
He loved it.
Thanks. I hate it.
You hated it.
I don't want
the OC to look bad.
It's just, why would you have the OC lose? Why? Can't you just have them say, hey, which our theory is that it's going to lead to Clash of Champions where Braun Strowman is going to fight Seth Rollins, but they're both going to fight with each other for the Raw Tag Team Championships against the OG.
This is fantasy booking, by the way.
I think that actually creates more tension in the pay-per-view, but we'll go into that later.
But at the same time, can't you just say, hey, can we team up so we can fight the OG?
OC, not OG.
OG. It's same. Not same.
The OGs or the DX. I remember that from Raw Reunion.
Boom.
And, no, the OGs are Tama Tonga. And
anyways.
And the newest member of DX, Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And my biggest problem with it was that, man, just...
Okay, that's enough of that. We're going to move on. NXT.
It was disgusting.
It was fine. Anyway, let's move on.
Let's move on. NXT is announced as of this morning to be on Wednesdays for 2 hours opposite AEW. One is on USA, one is on TNT. We have Wednesday Night Wars, which I believe has been... Cody has reserved the right to use that name for his brand. What do we think? Are we excited about NXT?
I'm just saying, you know, someone had to pick up that phone, you know? Because we called it.
I'm very scared.
We called it.
Before anyone did, we did.
Not really. I read it somewhere. But still, we called it.
I am very scared for what could happen, mostly to the to the man, the Velveteen Dream.
I'm just... Okay.
Why are you scared?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because there is a big, 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 big possibility that Vince could be in, be doing
okay. things. Now, what Ray is expressing to you right now is also the predominant theory in Twitter world, which is that Vince McMahon will not be allowed to keep his hands off of NXT. Not that he won't be allowed to. He won't be willing to. Now, I've heard that theory online. I've heard that theory. Chris Jericho said that on the radio yesterday on Busted Open. Bully Ray echoed that sentiment. But what did we learn, or what was leaked out of WWE headquarters today, Nick?
He's not. He's going to just leave it be.
I thought that was leaked by Pro Wrestling Sheet.
I believe that whatever the case may be.
Everything that you're hearing from anywhere else is something that was leaked as well, though.
Everything comes from
made up.
Everything comes from the horse's mouth.
The thing that Pro Wrestling Sheet said that was from our sources, they never really specified the sources, that Vince was going to... What I'm saying is the article was very vague.
All right, we got to talk about this whole thing now. Hold on.
Okay.
If I may. Whenever like someone puts out a report on wrestling news, we can't just say yes or no depending on what we feel at the time. We don't know. Yes, it may be vague, but that could be because that's the way that the news was dealt.
Here's the other thing that's interesting. And one of the reasons why I love Ray being a part of these conversations is that he is absolutely the voice of what I read online. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all, because there's a reason why it's the predominant theory, is because it tends to be predominantly correct. But the thing is, one thing we're doing is we've decided that any negative news coming out of the wrestling world against the WWE is automatically correct. Any positive news coming out of WWE
can't be true.
It cannot be true.
Can't be true. The thing is, like, sources claim things, but nobody wants to believe them because they're like, I already know that Vince is going to do it. I already know. And granted, it could be because you know the guy. Like, after all, Chris Jericho and Bully Ray did say that, but you don't know. That's the thing. You don't know. So stop pretending like you do.
The thing
we
is,
will know when it happens, but right. Until then, the shut your mouth.
Right.
The thing is, Pro Wrestling Sheet, just like everyone else, we're all just bumbling idiots talking about wrestling. We're not...
Whoa.
How dare you?
Whoa. I don't think that's fair.
Listen, I'll believe it once Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, or Hunter believes it, because they're the only three people that know.
I believe Hunter has been quoted on something else saying that he'll be the full involvement, but maybe I'm not right on that.
And either way, Ryan Satin, even though we make jokes about him all this time, he does actually put in the legwork. Just sometimes the people who he's talking to throw him with the curveball.
Correct. Now,
like, he does his legwork, so let's not throw him out.
Here's the thing. Here's what I believe to be true. If you are worried about NXT, then you're going to watch AEW and you're going to tape NXT and watch it too. If you're excited about NXT, you're going to watch NXT and you're going to tape AEW too. But I believe we're all going to sit down and watch them both. And I believe we are in for the best time we've ever had as wrestling fans. And I am so excited to wrap this one up and get ready for a new one. This has been Go Home Heat with Lit Nick Ray, copyright 2019.
Go home.